Wake up! It's time for a pro-American jihad! This is Uncle Dave saying, welcome to the right-wing redneck radio rag. Yes, my fellow citizens and the legal residents, our great nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles and the rights, responsibilities, and restrictions granted to and placed on individuals and all levels of government are spelled out in our Constitution. These are the reasons the United States of America rose to become the greatest nation in the history of the world, regardless of what our defamer in chief says. They are the only means by which America can regain and retain its greatness, and they are under serious attack from dastardly enemies, both foreign and domestic. The good old boys and girls here at Right Wing Redneck Radio are dedicated to the defense of those principles and our Constitution. Political correctness is like trying to pick up a turd by the clean end, and I won't do either. So if you're overly sensitive, better change the station right now. Fair and balanced? No, not on this show. The nefarious mainstream news media constantly pimps the left-wing loonies, promotes everything that is anti-American or that flies in the face of morality, and tries to destroy all that is righteous or constitutional. You'll hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth on this show, humor notwithstanding. But I frankly don't give a damn what the moronic opposition thinks. If you're a left-wing ideologue, you're still welcome to call in if you can stand a good verbal spanking, but you'll not be spewing your moldering, ranted crap on this show. All right, let's get the program started, but let's set the mood first. On the count of three, give me a nice loud jihad. Are you ready? One, two, three, jihad! Well, hey there, and howdy, and all that there kind of stuff. This is your old Uncle Dave, and rather obviously, this is going to be the last show of the year, since the year ends in a day or two. And we are going to do a little reflecting on the past year and a little prognosis and wishful thinking, planning for the year that is upon us, bearing down like a runaway freight train with a drunken engineer sitting in the White House. But at any rate, I'm joined by one of my favorite people. I believe Sister Peggy's there with me. Is that you, Peg?
Yeah, this is she from Arizona.
Arizona, what's it like out there? We got a little cold snap coming through Florida. What's it like out where you are?
We have a kind of a cold snap, and it was cloudy today. No sunshine, but it's wintertime here in the desert.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's kind of, sort of, wintertime in Florida, or as close as we get to it. But it's down in the high 30s last night. We'll be again tonight. But, yeah, daytime eases up into the 60s, although I prefer the 80s. But whatever, you can't you can't have everything, I suppose. We have another caller. Let's see who this is. Caller from the 706 area code. Who that be? Howdy.
That might be Brother Jim. Hello, Brother Dave.
Well, hey there, Jim. Long time no talk to you. So glad to hear your voice.
Al, glad to hear yours, too.
Wow. Hey, Jim.
I've been doing great. What's been going on up there?
Well, we got a little cold snap coming through Florida. Of course, you know, this is our last show of the year, so we're going to do a little reflecting and a little looking into the year ahead. So you all be thinking of a couple of things in the past year that, you know, struck a chord with you, be it personally or be it politically or whatever. Couple of things. I guess right now we're all shuddering in fear of the fiscal cliff. Not really. You remember the story about the boy who cried wolf? And he kept on doing it, and then finally the wolf showed up and no one came. Well, this crap that the Congress does, running up to the last minute, oh, the country's going to fall apart, you know, if we don't, we've got six more hours.
excuse me, go to hell. You know, the fiscal cliff is pure BS and posturing. It means absolutely nothing, nothing whatsoever. Yeah, I know, it's taxes are all going to go up and sequester, but all of that stuff, whatever they pass later will be retroactive and wipe it all out anyway. So whether or not they do it on the deadline or not is immaterial, and I think most of the American population is no longer impressed with their theatrics. What do you say, Jim?
I say they make me sick to my stomach. And I'd like to point something out that a lot of our listeners, your listeners may not be completely aware of. But this is something that bears reflection, it bears some study. And the simple fact of the matter is we've been operating under a de facto government for decades, many decades. Now, by that I mean we do not have a legitimate constitutionally recognized government any longer. We haven't had for a very long time. This Congress, bullcrap. No, they're not. They're de facto. They have taken over. They do not represent the American people. They have not represented the American people in a very long time, particularly the Democrat Party. That the special mention should go to the Republican Party that caves on every single thing. They have completely abrogated the rule of law. Just the simple fact that Barack Hussein Obama is still walking around free is all the evidence you need right there that our system of government has completely, completely collapsed. You've got the fiscal cliff, and you've got Harry Reid up there and Mitch McConnell. What are they doing? They're doing nothing. There is so much that could have been done and that should have been done. The simple fact of the matter is, this is not a government du jour. This is a de facto government. It has been taken over. It has been completely, completely, unconstitutionally abrogated. We do not any longer have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. The sooner everybody realizes that and starts to act on it, the better off we're going to be. These people don't need to be voted out of office. The voting booth doesn't work anymore. It's broken. What needs to happen, you need to contact your sheriffs. You need to contact your attorneys, your state attorneys, your attorneys generals, and raise hell with them. These people need to be arrested. They do not need to be voted out of office. That's not going to happen any longer. They need to be arrested.
Sadly, I don't think the arrest is likely either, but I agree with you that we're certainly between a rock and a hard place. Peggy, your comments.
Yeah, speaking of Congress, I concur with Jim. And you might want to check into it, but I swear I saw on something I was reading this morning that Obama's going to give Congress and Mr. Biden a raise.
Oh, yeah. Yes. 0.5%. It doesn't sound like a lot, but they're making the average salary in Congress $174,900 a year, at least what it is.
Yep.
The average salary of just the average American, and I wish I made this much, is around, I believe, $48,000 a year. That's you know, they just take everybody's salary. You know how they do that. They just level the playing field out. They take all the low earners, the high earners, and they've all put it into one lump sum and divide it out evenly. And that's obscene.
Well, something else that's, that Obama promises, of course, promises, and when it comes from him, don't usually mean too much, unless they're promising evil, then he means it. Well, he has promised higher taxes on the rich no matter what. He says that higher income earners will get to keep less of what they earn next year, regardless of the outcome of this fiscal cliff charade. That's because two new taxes enacted to fund Obama's Kevorkian no-care health system will kick in January. The new levies... will help for the program to expand government's control, that's the key word, over health care and provide coverage far and by votes from the uninsured and providing government subsidies for lower and middle class Americans. But don't worry, you're going to get some of those back from the middle class Americans too. And of course, the undocumented Americans too, that would be AKA illegal aliens and future Democrats. So, The vast majority of taxpayers will escape that unscathed. However, about 2% will be subject to the new taxes. This is according to Robert Williams, who is a senior fellow at the Tax Policy Center, and the top 2% will be forced to pay the new taxes. But what Obama's calling rich, $250,000, you know, Medicare payroll, single payers earning $200,000, and couples earning more than $250,000 will have to pay an additional 0.9% payroll tax if they cross those thresholds.
Yeah.
Unlike the traditional taxpayer rules, however, this tax is going to be based on household income, not the individual earnings. So couples may be surprised to find themselves subject to it, even if they each make less than the $200,000. Could lead to a surprise at tax time, since employers withhold payroll taxes only on their earnings. So when they combine the family earnings, they could get socked at two pretty good. You know, if a husband and wife each earn $175,000, they will owe an additional $900 at the end of the year that their employers did not withhold. And this should kill our economy, which is Obama's goal anyway. But investment income tax. Taxpayers with investment income will be subject to 3.8% levy. So investment income includes interest, dividends, capital gains, among other things. So the formula is a little bit complicated, but those with adjusted thresholds over $200,000, $250,000 and marry, if married, need to be concerned, because Obama's going to slip it to them in the form of a secret suppository. But a secret suppository.
David, something a lot of people don't understand is the taxes that are going to hit on Tuesday are going to affect, they're going to hit the middle class and the poor more than anything. Obama is a pathological liar.
Yeah.
And it is a simple fact, when, like you were talking about the Tax Policy Center, and there's a lot of other things I've seen on the news, that, oh, there's a deadlock. Congress is failing to reach any agreement on the fiscal cliff. Oh, give me a break. The American people are going to be hit with such a huge tax burden. They're going to reap the whirlwind of Democrat policies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to be pretty.
And expenses under Obama's benevolent scheme, it's going to be allowed to deduct medical expenses, which is commonly used by the middle-class taxpayers that Obama says he's all out to help. But until now, they could deduct medical expenses that exceeded 7.5% of their adjusted income. Obama's raising it 10%. So one-third of the people who took this exemption had incomes between $50,000 and $100,000, not a whole lot of money for a big family. That was in 2010. So only a tiny fraction of the rich took advantage of this deduction, because their incomes were too high for it to work anyway. So our leader's plan is to secretly sock it to the middle class. He's trying to act by shooting them with a foot under the table. He is a lying, double-dealing douchebag, folks. So,
David,
open your wallet. Coming for him.
Yeah, David.
Yes, ma'am.
Another thing that the middle class don't realize is not only are all these high taxes and unknown taxes, I've seen day after day businesses are really running scared. They may lay off people, so that's going to hurt the middle class job, and they're not going to invest any money anymore.
Oh, well, they can't. And if you think you're going to inherit money from your family, well, good old Commie Mama's boys want to lower the rate, lower the cap for inheritance tax from $5 million down to $1 million. So when you die, if your estate, your business, your total worth is worth $1 million or more, then estate tax kicks in, which is going up from 35% to 55%. So over half of everything that you think you might be inheriting out there, youngins, surprise, if you voted for Obama, you're giving it to him. So, maybe he'll take care of you, I don't know. We have to touch on, while we're on this subject, we have to bring up the hobby company that sewed in my ear just buggered. Those of you who are probably aware, but they employed several hundred people, Christian family, and they said, it was against our belief to fund through our health care system to fund birth control and abortion. So they are filing in court to try to get out, to try to get an exemption from that. However, they will be fined $1.3 million per day. That's not a reasonably important. I'll say it again. $1.3 million per day. So, state of care, Obama's appointee, of course, refuses to.
Darn.
Yeah, that's a little scratchy there. All they're saying is, hey, look, let's wait until we have our day in court to see if we're going to win or lose. Sotomayor says, nope, $1.3 million day one. So, the company has basically four choices. One, shut the company down and fire several hundred people. That's one possibility. Number two, give up on their personal beliefs or personal morals and say, all righty, we will capitulate and we will fund insurance for abortion and for birth control. Number three, they could simply say, all righty, we are not going to insure any of our employees. We're canceling everybody's health insurance. And then all of their employees would do exactly what Obama wants, go on the government insurance policy. And remember, he said he was in favor of a single-payer plan. That means no health insurance companies in the country except Uncle Sam or Uncle Barack or whoever. So that's what they're doing. Now, Sotomayor, before she was sitting on the bench, but was in a judge, she said that, oh, no, religious freedom must exist. That prisoner in the prison who is a Muslim and wants halal food, and for you, no, he must have that because we got to stand up for religious freedom. And now she says, oh, unless it's a Christian organization, in which case, screw up. That's our government. That was Obama's first choice for the Supreme Court. Sotomayor. And you know he's going to get at least one more appointee this term because Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who has lost her mind some years back, is absolutely probably going to retire within the next four. He couldn't find anybody much worse than her, but at least he'll put on a carbon copy of her, who's many, many years younger and will survive on the court, sticking it to the Constitution and the rest of us for the next 20 or 25 years. And God forbid that Kennedy retire. Justice Roberts is a piece of garbage. Because of him, we have Obamacare. But if he retires, I wouldn't shed a tear. But I'm sure Obama could find somebody even worse to put on the bench. So I hope he doesn't retire till we get this commie bastard out of the White House. But anyway, that's the state of our Supreme Court. So, I believe I see a phone number I recognize popping up on my screen here. I'm trying to turn on your microphone because I think it's going around in circles now. I'm killing time here. I do believe that is my good friend Mike Skubiak. That's you, Mike?
I just joined. I have no idea what's going on.
Well, we were just talking about Justice Sotomayor granting special treatment to Muslim prisoners, halal food and what have you, but refusing to grant an extension on the commencement of the $1.3 million a day fine for a Christian organization who has already, filed suit in court to get out from under this. Yes, we must provide birth control and abortion insurance for our employees.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So that's
just to show you how important the court is. We were in trouble with Obama's election. Who knows if they get now? It's 5-4 now. Roughly, we get some control, but if Obama gets to put some appointees in, we're screwed.
Well, he's going to replace Ginsburg. That's pretty certain. We couldn't have much worse than Ginsburg. Remember, she's the one that told some other countries, "Well, if you're going to draft a constitution. Don't use the United States. It's not.
Yeah,
very
right.
Good.
I saw that. Yeah, and
so,
and that is, in itself was almost in my mind's eye almost like an impeachable offense. You know, if you can't, that's why they're on the court. They're supposed to defend the Constitution.
Yeah, they're not supposed to judicially change it. But remember, Sotomayor said.
Right.
About legislating from the bench? Geez, oh, I know we're not supposed to say that, but we do.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Right.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So what's up with you, Mike? What's on your – I know you're a super busy man. What's on your plate, and what's coming up with
that? Gee, I just have trying to do some videos, trying to write some articles, and trying to do some planning. It's and, you know, I've had my wife to take care of, so I'm just overwhelmed right now. In fact, I'm going through a little slump right now, time-wise, too. I think I got in about 45 minutes sleep last night. I think I may fall asleep on this phone call.
Oh, man.
So how you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm doing fine. You're the hardest working man I know, Mike, and I know that you are such a devoted husband that you spend many hours with your wife, you know, daily.
Yeah.
You're a wonderful human being, and I say that from the bottom of my little heart. Anybody
in my position would do exactly the same. I'm not unusual. Everybody loves their wives, and I hope, you know, so.
Well, some people take it a step further. They love other people's wives, too.
Okay, all right.
I shouldn't have said that. So tell me what's on the table for Act for America in January.
Well, January 29th, we have Dr. Bert Chesky speaking on Spain. You know, a lot of people think there was a glorious period in Spain when the Muslims ruled and everything was peaceful. He's going to tell us the truth, which, you know, that is not the truth. So, and he's going to do a great job. I love Norman. He's a Renaissance man that knows everything and absolutely brilliant. And I hope a good friend.
He's been our guest on the show. And I concur heartily that he is a very good man.
Right.
So,
and then I hope to have two speakers in a row that are going to be great. The first one in February, if things work out right, will be Sam Shimon speaking on why Muhammad was not a prophet. And I'm going to advertise it as Muhammad the Prophet and just leave it that, so we'll hopefully get some Muslims to attend. And then in March, if everything works out right, I'll have a speaker speaking on why the Quran cannot be from God. So it's really an interesting series.
Well, it does sound like it. Let me slide something in here real quick, since we're coming up on New Year's, and I think that you, Mike, for one, will personally enjoy this. The ball drops in Times Square.
Yes.
And when it hits the bottom, it used to be Guy Lombardo and the Royal Canadians, that was the name of his band, that would play Auld Lang Syne. Well, everybody goes, Auld Lang Syne, what the hell is that? I mean, what does that mean? Does anybody know what that means? Well, I'm going to tell you. The phrase has been commonplace in Scotland for centuries, and it's not far removed from the English meaning once upon a time. Of course, the best of phrase about using that is Robert Burns' poem Auld Lang Syne, which was a set to music in which he said he heard someone on the street just singing. So should old acquaintance be forgot? It actually means, literal translation, long time since or long time ago, if you translate it literally. That's what it means. So, and what's also interesting is that it does go back even beyond that. The first time anybody can find record of it was by a poet called Sir Robert Eyton, who lived between 1570 and 1638. So, should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? This was his poem. The flames of love extinguished and freely passed and gone. Is thy kind heart not grown so cold in that loving breast of thine? That thou canst never reflect upon Auld Lang Syne. So,
there you
after go. Doing that, I feel duty bound, because I'm sure you were going to yawn, I feel duty bound to actually play a very brief, less than a minute long rendition of Auld Lang Syne. with my lovely wife singing harmony with herself.
Oh, great. That's great. Hi, baby.
Yeah. You know, she's here, and okay, get your pipes tuned up, baby girl. Here you go.
Should all acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should all acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne? For old lang syne, my dear, for old lang syne, we'll take a cup of kindness yet for old lang syne. We'll take a cup of kindness yet for old lang syne.
Thank you, my darling. Liz the Binger, Auntie Bing there, doing old lang syne. I tell you what's amazing is when she lays down the melody track and then comes back to sing the harmony part, and we put the headphones on so she can hear what's happening, but all I can hear is the harmony part by itself. That sounds really weird. But when they get combined, it comes out pretty good. So Jimmer, I think you're a guitar player, aren't you, Jim?
What?
Did we lose Jim?
Yeah, no, I'm right here. Go ahead. What was that?
Okay. No, we were just talking about music. I said, you're a guitar picker, I believe, aren't you?
Yeah, sort of, yeah. I've been known to.
Do you sing with it as well?
I used to. I haven't paid a lot of due diligence to that in the last couple of years. Haven't had the time.
Hmm.
But, yeah, I spent a lot of time in smoke-filled bar rooms and standing in front of the drum set. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yep, I spent 30 years doing that. Part of it, I was playing music. I was doing stand-up comedy. But anyway, music has charms to soothe the savage beast. But we felt duty-bound to do that here as we approach New Year's Eve. So, Peggy, what else you got on your mind? We've neglected you for a moment or three here.
Oh, not much. Just wondering if everybody's got their seatbelt all buckled up for the ride off the cliff. And I don't know, this year, I really learned a lot this past year about what we have going on in Washington, and it's just really disturbing to me.
Well, I'll tell you what upsets me is, well, a lot of things upset me. We don't have that much time. But coming up in February, we've got the debt ceiling. Now, I'm on the Republican Executive Committee here in Florida, blah, blah, whatever, who cares. But they annoy the hell out of me sometimes by wimping out. That should never, never, never have been put off till after the elections. If they'd have kept that debt ceiling first and foremost in October, there's a good chance Kami Obama would have had to show so many of his own cards, he wouldn't have been reelected. That coupled with the fact that Romney ran a really weak campaign. He left so many bullets on the table on fire that I don't mean literally bullets. I mean political points that he could have used. Just tell the truth, you know. But the debt ceiling is if the Republicans do not tie that in with any type of tax deal, with the sequestration and with the tax increases that Kami Obama wants and stuff, if they don't make it all part and parcel of the same deal, then they are not only weak-kneed and lily-livered, but cowardly and stupid. And I'm speaking as a Republican. So hopefully I got some Republicans listening that will contact their congresspeople and senators and say, hey, you know, stop being a wuss. You know, you've got one bullet left, one big bullet left. And that one big bullet that you have left is the debt ceiling. So use it. You know, for goodness sakes, use it. Don't be a wimp. It's the only shot you've got between now and the time this schmuck in the White House gets issued out or thrown out or whatever happens to him. But, hey, we got a new caller popped up from the 585 area code. Hi there and Happy New Year. What's on your mind? Who are
hey,
you first?
Happy New Year to you too. How's everything?
Oh, everything's wonderful.
Yeah. Well, personally speaking. Question for you. I'm noticing a pattern in Western countries when it comes to immigration problems. And I want to bring it to your attention and get your comments on it. You down for that?
Sure.
You bet.
All right. It seems like I'm noticing. I actually saw this. It was like a slogan on a YouTube comment video. And it said, Asia for Asians, Africa for Africans, Western countries for everyone. Are you noticing that, too? Because it actually is true. It sounds crazy or racist, but it actually sounds pretty – it sounds just about right to me.
Well, our country, the United States of America, was built by immigrants. You know, obviously, we had some Native Americans here before that. And I don't know that we need to be to try to exclude anybody because of where they come from. I do, however, vigorously oppose the fact that we are importing Muslims from various areas in the world, and when they get here, we're supporting them. We're giving them housing and food and cars, and they're living better than I am. A lot of them are. Now, I vigorously oppose that, and I'm not just singling out the Muslims. If they did it to anybody else, I would oppose that, too. If you're going to come here.
I think that's why we're becoming a third world country, because we're importing third world people, whether they're Muslims or even Catholics or whatever they are, from wherever. Third world people create a third world country, and that's why these bastards at the federal government are going to get away with taking away our guns, because these third world people don't care about the right to have free speech or to own a gun. And it's a problem. I mean, you know, nation of immigrants, sure, but nobody's telling the Congo and Africa that they need to be more diverse or they need to be culturally enriched. Nobody's telling Japan or China or India or Bangladesh that they need to be more multicultural. They're only doing that in this country and countries in Europe.
Right. You're 100% right, sir, 100% right. But what we're importing, as you probably know, is what the Democrats believe are Democratic voters, people that are Democrats, who vote for the Democrats are trying to just fill up the country with immigrants that will want from the Congress or the Treasury, and they will vote Democrat.
But just say it, they're not white, these people. I mean, I don't want to make it a race issue, but it is, man.
That's right.
97% of blacks didn't vote for Obama. There is no political issue that would cause 97% of a racial group to vote for a person who shares their race. It's because he was black. And it's so
racist
to say this. And you know what? This is genocide, man. When you leave borders open and you import, I mean, there's people in Ireland who are on immigration lists that have been on these lists for almost 10 years that still haven't been able to get in the country. But these wetbacks from down south are just coming up here and usurping all of our assets in this country. And this is genocide. I made a video about this. It got almost 2,000 hits already, this video. This is called genocide. This is white American genocide.
What's the title of that video?
The video is called White Genocide, Fact or Fiction. It's on my channel. It's called Racial Realities. And it's government statistics. It's not white supremacy at all, because I'm not a white supremacist. I don't want you guys to get that opinion of me. I'm certainly not. I don't think I'm better than anybody. But I'm just being honest here, you know. Nobody says anything about this.
Well, I agree with you in many respects. I do try to avoid racial epithets like wetback that you just used.
It's not like calling somebody the end.
I get very angry with this crap myself. I am volatile. I have a short fuse. And when I see my government sticking it to me as they are, I get angry and outspoken. And I feel like I've wasted a day if I don't piss somebody off. So
why do you have to press one for English? Why do you have to be bilingual to get a job in this country? It's not losing.
Right.
Well, you make a lot of very valid points, and my wife is Philippine. It took me a year or more petitioning to bring her into the country legally. So I know exactly what you're saying, but on the other hand, others are not even – they're just being brought in at government expense and then given government housing and government cars and government money. And the genocide that you mentioned is absolutely going on. I homeschooled my son when he was in the seventh grade. And his first art assignment, now, because even though you're homeschooling, you have to go by the curriculum that the state has established. His first art assignment was to provide examples of Muslim art. I called the school and I said, "What do you want? Pictures of a burning building?" To which they tried to dodge the issue. He was given two mandatory library books for reading. One was about a black family who moved to Alabama in the early 50s and encountered racial problems. And they certainly were there. There's no question of that. The other one, and I will give you the name of it. I can't recall the author, but the name of it's Dragon Wings. It was about a Chinese family who migrated to the United States 10 years after Orville and Wilbur Wright's first flight at Kitty Hawk. And in this book, it never refers to America or England any other way than the land of the demon whites. And it never refers to the population of America, pretty much, any other way than the demon whites. The demon white doctor came and did this and that and the other. And this was required reading for a seventh grader. So
I know you're running out of time. I just want to ask you a question. It's going to be very controversial, but it's a genuine question. Yeah, what was so wrong with Jim Crow laws? A separate but equal is not better than you. It's just separate, but it's promoting equality. Now, because we have to have forced busing, everybody's getting a crappy education, and that's why in the world the country's fallen to the 26th in the world's educational standing.
Well, that's part of that is directly a result of demon rat policies to dumb down the population so people don't know how badly they're going to get screwed. And just to put it bluntly, the dumbing down of the education system has been going on for decades.
They're forcing multiculturalism. That's the problem. I mean, you know, let's just be here. I mean, I have black friends. I like some black folks, but you know, they can be troublesome in an academic environment. This happens all the time. I have a whole website. I have a whole archive dedicated to this kind of thing. And, you know, it dilutes the education for the kids. That's what, like, these liberals. And then I'll hang up. I'll make this final point, and then I'll hang up, because you guys have been great. My final point is you have all these liberals that want to promote multiracialism, multiculturalism, and, oh, we all need to be in the same schools and the same shooting ranges, the same bowling leagues. Well, you know what, these liberals who are promoting this, they live in all-white neighborhoods, and they send their kids to all-white schools, so they're hypocrites.
Exactly.
It's the white working-class guy who gets screwed in the end. Guys, I hope you have a happy new year. Take care.
Don't hang up. Just listen.
Hey.
We'll address your comments. Peggy, you've been silent for a while, and I know you probably have some ideas on these matters. What you got to say?
Well, I agree with the caller, and the biggest problem I see is that when it's fine to have immigrants come in, like when my grandfather came and they assimilated into the American culture. Well, nowadays we've got all these foreigners coming to this country and they're not assimilating to our American culture, and they don't believe in the Constitution. They don't believe in anything that our country was founded on. All they worry about is their own culture, and it always brings up problems.
Yeah, but you can't promote your white culture, or else you're a racist. That's the problem. I have a website, and I'll plug it real quick, just to give you the name of it. It's called Caucasian Persuasion. It's a funny, catchy name. But do you know how many death threats I get every day? How many people call me a racist and a supremacist? And it's nothing bad. I don't have anything bad on my – I just have things that the mainstream media doesn't tell you about on my website. But I get these death threats and these awful emails all because I'm white. And I'm not even proud to be white, because it's stupid being proud to be white. I'm honored, but I'm not proud. But, you know, the liberal school agenda, it's like a manufacturing assembly line plant. They make the same kids, cookie-cutter model kids with cookie-cutter model ways of thinking, and it's – and the system, I mean, I think we need to stop neglecting it. It's anti-white, and, you know, you guys want to check out that video, you know, check it out. It's up on my website, or if you remember the name, punch it into YouTube. It's we need to acknowledge what the problem is here. There is a war, and I'm not afraid to say it because I don't want to hurt anybody and I don't think I'm better than anybody, but there is a war on white people going on in this world.
And there's a war on Christians, too, right here in this country.
Yeah. Yeah.
To give you, I'm not going to get into great detail, but my wife and I have a son who is 18 years old. He was made in the Philippines, born here. And I have told him, when you apply for anything, put down Asian. What I do, and you'd be amazed at the funny looks I get from this. But, long story made real short. My father was born and raised a Bedouin camel rider in what was called Palestine. There never really was a Palestine, okay, but it was part of Saudi Arabia. Came here, married, made me, whatever. So I am green-eyed, pale-complected. But when I put down something, when I apply for something, I put down African-American, and I defy you to challenge me on that. My father was from the continent of Africa. Doesn't that make me an Afro-American? I think it does. So I put that down. But when the interviewer gets to me, you'd be surprised at the looks I get.
That's good. You get interviewed real quick, too, I bet.
Well, I'm real pushy, so I'm hard to get rid of. But anyway, you chance to notice that. Jim, I know that you must have lots to say on this subject. What's on your mind, partner?
On that particular subject, I'm going to reserve comment at this particular time because the caller is exactly right. And the term racist has been used for a very long time to shut anybody who's not a racist up, because the biggest racists we have in this country, the vast, vast majority of them belong to the Democrat Party. If you go back to the War of Northern Aggression and before that, but most specifically the War of Northern Aggression.
And the KKK is Democrat.
The KKK is Democrat. There's people that will freak out and argue with you about that when you have the facts right in hand. It was it was founded by Democrat Congress critters and a bunch of other people. The entire racial division we experience in this country can be laid directly at the feet of the Democrat Party.
I think it would be better if we didn't have multiculturalism. If we stopped having people who have, like, blacks and whites and Christians and Jews and Muslims, you can't force all these people together because there's just going to be conflict. It's like gay marriage. You know, I don't like gay marriage. I don't like these gay pride parades they have. But I think if somebody wishes to engage in sodomy, that's their prerogative. I'm not going to tell them what to do. But I think they should live in their own state where they allow that, and their pot smoking and their abortions and their gay marriage and their, you know, multiculturalism. Let them live in a state where that's okay. I shouldn't have that forced on me or my kids or my value system. It's wrong. But anyway, I got to run, guys. God bless you, and have a good New Year.
Okay, well, I don't know if you're aware or not, but I live in Orlando, Florida. I mean, that wasn't the point. But that's where the Mouse and Duck Farm is, Disney. And they have Gay Week at Disney. The gay. And can you imagine living in, pick a spot, I don't care, Portsmouth, Ohio, and saving up your money and bringing your family down here and your children ages 4, 7, and 11, and just can't wait to take him to Disney, and you didn't do your research and didn't realize. Now you pop into Disney World with your little family, and oh my, that's not Mickey Mouse. That's not Donald Duck. That's a drag queen. It's just a, I don't know. You talk about separate but equal. My personal opinion is that marriage is between a man and a woman, okay? I don't have a problem with gay people getting the same tax benefits. If they want to call it a civil union, that's fine with me. But one thing I don't think the Republicans should keep losing elections over crap like that. I think they need to address the important issues.
What's amazing, David, what's amazing real quick, and I'm going to get off here, is we're constantly being painted as intolerant by the people that are the absolutely most intolerant you could ever imagine. That would be your liberal, progressive Democrat Party, and that's what they do.
Martin Luther King was a registered Republican.
There you go. That's the point. They managed to take the issue and completely turn it around, turn it on its head. And it's because of the education, the failure of the education system, the complete the breakdown of morality in the society forced upon us by the Democrats and the liberals. I mean, it's been done before. They're coming after our guns next.
Oh, big.
You have to disarm. There's no way they could take over this country with an armed populace. Read the words of Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini. They look back at history. History's got it all right there. We're going down the exact same path.
Yeah.
Well, I couldn't agree more. Here's just a couple of quick statements from the inaugural address of John Adams, who we're going back to the 1700s here. He said, this is as he was being inaugurated president, he said, among other things, "Nor have I ever entertained a thought of promoting any alteration to the Constitution, but such as the people themselves, in the course of their exercise, should see and feel to be necessary or expedient, and by their representatives in Congress and the state legislatures, according to the Constitution itself, which has been adopted and ordained." That was John Adams. I guess Obama's executive orders that violate the Constitution, I don't guess he would have approved of that. He went on to say, "Returning to the bosom of my country," because he was overseas, he read the Constitution when he was in England. He said, "Returning to my country after a painful separation for 10 years, I had the honor to be elected to a station under the new order of things, and I have repeatedly laid myself under the most serious obligations to support the Constitution. The operation of it has equaled the most sanguine expectations of its friends, and from a habitual attention to it, satisfaction in its administration, and delight in its effects upon the peace, order, prosperity, and happiness of the nation, I have acquired an habitual attachment and love for it and a veneration for it. What other form of government, indeed, can so well deserve our esteem and love?" That is what John Adams thought of our Constitution.
Let's be very clear. The problem we have in this country today is not the Constitution. The biggest problem we have is ignorance of it.
Oh, and the deliberate avoidance of it, going around it, finding back doors. Obama's czars, who are not even ratified by the Senate. It is his absolute dedication to wipe his feet on the guy. It's a stumbling block for him. And, you know, the Democrats say, "Well, it's a living document. We need to change it as we see fit." No, you don't. And some of the people who are in Congress, what was the congressman who said he was afraid that if the population of Guam increased too much, the island would tip over?
That's Hank Johnson. Hank Johnson of Georgia. Yeah.
Oh, God.
I mean, these are the people that are supposed to be so much smarter than us and represent us and carry our views to the I'm sorry, they just don't do that. It's incongruous that we have these people in Congress. Adams went on to say, "Can authority be more than mere ornamental and decoration? Must it be added by robes and diamonds, or hanging out with celebrities, Jay-Z, etc., going on talk shows? Can authority be more amiable and respectable when it descends from ancients, as in Sun is King, are institutions established in remote antiquity, and when it springs fresh from the hearts and judgment of an honest," here's a key word, "and enlightened people?" There again is one of our big problems. We've got the mainstream media just keeping people totally ignorant of what's really going on, and we have a very dumbed down population, as you pointed out, Jim.
And it's by design.
Yes, it is.
don't be fooled. It is completely by design, and it's going to get worse. And we're going to see more shootings. We're going to see more school shootings. We're going to see more violence in the workplace. And this is all by design. Don't be fooled. I know it sounds like a horrible thing to say, but when you've got somebody out there that's doped up on psychotropic drugs, you don't hear about this on the mainstream media or anything else. You've got these nutcases. They're going out there because this is what the left does. Human life makes no difference to them as long as they can use it or lose it to acquire power. Power is the only thing that matters. We've got to get this through people's heads. Sandy Hook, it is going to be used. It is being used right now as a means to disarm the American people because you cannot take over a country that is completely armed. The Japanese did not invade the United States because they knew the people were armed. Well, now we're being invaded from within. We have got a communist, Islamo-fascist in the White House who has surrounded himself with like-minded people, has completely usurped the rule of law, and the entire 535 members of Congress have completely failed in their duty to hold him accountable, and they will not hold him accountable. That's why I'm saying we do not have a de jure government. We have a government de facto. It has been taken over. Yeah. We need to get back to constitutional principles because we're going to be seriously screwed here very shortly.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, guys.
More. Go ahead, Peggy.
The thing that keeps going through my head every time I hear all this attack on the Second Amendment, do you really think, as big as this country is, with as many armed Americans there are, don't you think it would be a little hard to do it in this country?
Well, they have a
short of house-to-house searches and martial law. Don't forget the executive orders that Obama's signed. Don't forget about 13606, 13603, 13575. Don't forget about the executive orders. All this communist bastard needs to do is declare martial law, and it states right in the executive orders, whether there is a national emergency or not, he has the ability to call one.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there. He pointed this out on Tea Party Radio and Founders Quest for 3 years.
And yeah, and you know, this deal where they're, we're going to have everybody register, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, to register so they can go get the guns. That's what I keep thinking.
Well, you're right. So they know where they are. Now, one thing that has been pointed out but squashed by the mainstream media is almost all of these mass shootings take place in gun-free zones where no one is allowed to carry a gun. I have a concealed weapons permit. I'm sure more than you do. But these shootings take place in where? Schools, movie theaters, shopping malls, places where even law-abiding citizens such as the three of us who have concealed weapons permits, who have been taught how to use a gun, have been taught gun safety, we are forbidden to carry our guns. So you take these lunatic moron cowards who want to go out and shoot up a bunch of people who they know can't shoot back. Where are they going to go? They're going to go to gun-free zones. Why on earth should my son's in high school. He's in ROTC. Do you think his ROTC instructors don't know how to use a gun? Do you think they're not patriotic Americans? Why should they be banned from carrying a gun with them to school just in the event one of these cowardly lunatics shows up and decides to start blowing away children? Why can't one of these ex-career military men have a gun that he could defend the students with?
There's a petition circulating on the internet you might get a kick out of, seeing as how it's good enough for our children, our most treasured national resource, our most treasured national commodity, or not commodity, but our children are in gun-free zones. There's a petition on the internet where the president and the entire United States Congress and all members of the administration also be surrounded by a gun-free zone.
Oh, I like that.
If their guns are so dangerous and they shouldn't be around their kids, well, by God, they shouldn't be around the President of the United States either.
Damn right.
They're on the Secret Service.
You know, at Disney here, I have to tell you this, it's real short, but it is so incredibly ridiculous. This is how the left thinks. At Disney, employees, of course, Disney's a gun-free zone, naturally. Now, could you think of a better place if you want to waste hundreds of people than going to Disney with a gun or an explosive device or whatever? But Disney employees are not even allowed to have guns in their cars. And when asked why, Disney said, well, one of them could accidentally go off in the car, and it could work its way through the parking lot, over the tram, across the lake, past Mickey Mouse and Goofy, and into the place where we store our fireworks for our fireworks display and cause a big explosion.
Oh, my God.
you can't make that up. I mean, that's just bizarre. And one of the moronic lefty Congress people the other day, I can't remember which one, said, well, I know our founding fathers didn't mean assault weapons where you've got a 10-round clip. Hell, I got a very small 9mm. It's got a 12-round clip. No, that's not an assault weapon, Bimbo. That is a little compact handgun. And, okay, so if I got one in the pipe, I got 13 rounds. Good. If someone breaks into my home, I live in a modest home. If somebody breaks into my home, they are not a skilled professional burglar after my diamonds because I don't have any. So they're in for whatever they can get, maybe to do severe damage, cause deaths to my family members or myself. And I'm not even sure 13 rounds is enough because I plan on killing every damn one of them if they break into my home and attempt to kill my family. What do you think about that, Jim?
Well, I agree with you. Mine holds 17.
Well, I do have a spare backup piece. But anyway.
Did you guys see where
I
Sheriff Apaya out here? He's getting his posse, armed posse, going to protect the schools out here.
Oh, I love Apaya. He's
I know.
I wish he would have pursued it further than what he did. What he did with the eligibility issue and stuff.
Yeah,
supposedly they still are pursuing it. So
that's
I don't know how that's going to turn out.
Yeah, but our time's growing short.
Losing this last election. Well, I don't know if y'all know who Alan Grayson is or not. He's a Florida congressman. Again, he lost in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
The guy is... He's an embarrassment of the whole human race. I mean, he is. He's just ludicrous. He said that they should take everybody who says drill, baby, drill, and lock them up. He has said, Republicans have two health plans. One, don't get sick, and if you do, die quickly. He was the one that called, I can't remember who it was now, a female reporter. He called her a whore and a slut on the floor of Congress. And they reelected this guy. I mean, I don't know. The enemy. There was an old cartoon. There used to be a cartoon strip in the Sunday papers called Pogo. He was an opossum and he lived in the Florida Everglades. And he was talking to his friend Allie, who was an alligator, obviously. And I remember the car. I was 7-8 years old when I read it, but it stuck in my mind. He said, "We have met the enemy, and they are us."
They is us.
They is us. I stand corrected. Yeah, and they is us. I tell you what, it wasn't just a true 97% of the blacks in America voted for Obama. So you got a little ethnic pride going for you there. But that's not what got him elected. That is not what got him elected. It was the bleeding heart leftists.
Voter fraud that got him elected.
Yeah.
You have some facts and statistics on that? When you have 108% voter turnout that voted 108% for Barack Obama in at least three counties in Ohio, you've got massive voter fraud. There was massive voter fraud in 08, and supposedly the FEC, the Federal Election Commission, was going to be all over it. Oh, yeah, right. Well, they still haven't even finished their report on that one. It's massive voter fraud. There's no way this son of a bitch could have been elected in the United States of America without a massive voter fraud scheme going. And guess where it all stems from? Chicago.
Amen, yes.
The butthole of the country. Why do you think Rahm Emanuel stepped down from his post to become a lowly mayor of Chicago?
more power, more graft, more...
Yeah, he fits right in.
His brother, Emmanuel, is the one who said that our doctors have the Hippocratic Oath all wrong. They're not supposed to do everything they can for their patient. They're supposed to do everything they can for society as a whole. That was Ezekiel Emmanuel, Rahm's brother, said that. Well, boys and girls, we're down to about, or down to exactly 10 seconds. So I hope y'all have a wonderful new year, and I hope that we can do things to save our country from the path to disaster upon which it currently is. So happy new year to y'all, and I love y'all. Thank you for calling in. Thanks to our people in the chat room. Come back next Sunday. We'll do it again. Actually, we'll have a different program, but a simpler one. We're not just going to replay those ones. But anyway, we're off the air, so good night. I love you. I'm going to go eat a sandwich or something and put my little raggedy butt to bed. So thanks again, and I'm back from vacation. Jim, you still doing Founders Quest?
We're revamping everything. Me and Alan are, Dale's got a whole new thing going. So we got a little bit of work to do. We should be on back on the air right after the first of the year.
Okay, well, let me know. You guys always have a great show.
I'll let both of you know. And God bless, and we got a lot of work to do.
God bless everybody, and have a very happy new year.
Happy new year, and God bless, Peggy.
Okay, thank you all so much for joining in tonight. I'll see you next Sunday, and if not before.
All right. Good night.
Good night, everybody.